Welcome to the Agile Localization Podcast by Crowden, where we unpack the strategies and solutions that make localization fast, scalable, and efficient. I'm your host, Stefan Yui.
Good morning from Texas and California. We're here for another episode of the Agile Localization Podcast by Crowden, and I'm here with Mo Mohebifar, I hope I'm saying that somewhat right, and Alex Bitt from CodeMud. And I'm particularly excited today because we're going to be talking about a really geeky subject that I don't often get to talk about, but I'm very, very happy we get to talk about with these two characters. We're going to be talking about internationalization. Alex and Mo, why don't you do us the honor and introduce yourself quickly so the audience knows how you're connected to the process of internationalization.
I'm super excited to be here. My name is Alex. I'm the co-founder and CEO of CodeMud. I was at Meta for 6 years, building platforms, automation platforms for 70 plus engineering teams. And I'm very obsessed and passionate about future of software development and developer tools. And at CodeMud, we're building a better version of the internal platforms that we had at Facebook and Meta for the rest of the world, to automate the boring coding for millions of developers out there so they can focus on innovation. I'm super excited to be here to talk about internationalization and how automations can help. Thank you.
Okay. Mo?
Yeah, I'm Mo. I'm the CTO and co-founder of CodeMud. And I'm really into building CodeMuds and transpilers. And I've authored, like over 10 years ago, I authored LabUp, which was the opposite of Babel, that modernized your JavaScript code, converting ES5 to ES6, and I've authored many other open source transpilers, including VDAC and React Unforget, which was a replacement for React Compiler before React Compiler was out. And here at CodeMud, we're building the products and tools for developers and developer workflows to make code shorts invisible. And yeah, I'm glad to be here and talking to you because we have some exciting products related to internationalization.
I think engineers are going to be very happy with this episode of the podcast. So let's dig in right away and talk a little bit about the challenges of internationalization. From your experience, what are the biggest challenges and hidden pitfalls that technical leaders commonly face when they initiate an internationalization campaign? And what aspects tend to be overlooked during the planning process?
Yeah. When some companies want to take their product to global markets, some engineering leaders might not have the experience of internationalization campaigns before. So there are many questions like, how long would it take? What kind of internationalization library they need to pick? How can they plan it? You know, and that makes it really costly and hard and daunting kind of process for them. And for example, for internationalization libraries, there are different libraries. Each has their strengths and weaknesses. Some are optimized for performance. Some are easier to adopt. And some are very complicated, but they can, you know, support many advanced features. Or when it comes to planning, in large code bases, there are many teams involved. And it's really hard to, you know, orchestrate these changes across many teams. And also the time that it takes, you know, in big companies, it takes months of engineering time and people don't know about it. So they set a timeline for going to different markets, but they don't know what would it take to become internationalization ready. You know, all the mechanical and tedious changes that they need to make in their code before they even want to have their app translated to different languages. And yeah, and other challenges or about, you know, the merge conflicts. So you're making so many changes in your code base, but that's not the core feature that you're building. You know, developers are building many features for their end users. And now on top of that, they need to, you know, make changes into the code. And the merge conflicts cause lots of trouble for companies. And these are some of the challenges that engineering leaders who have not had the experience of internationalization might not be completely aware of.
Mo, do you have anything to add to that from a technical point of view? We should pay attention to our challenges.
Yeah, there are so many things to consider for different types of sectors. So for example, if you're a fintech company, it's not just the translate industries and all that. It starts with the legal side of things and also, like, for example, supporting different types of currencies. But imagine you've done that and now you want to make your software, like, you're ready to just translate your or transform your code base so that if you have any hard code strings within your code base, and that's how startups actually start and evolve. Like, they don't have the time usually to consider internationalization in the first place. So they start by hard-coded strings in their code bases. And now, after 2 years, 3 years, when they race for this Series C, or they want to go global for various reasons, now it becomes a priority all of a sudden. And you need to do it within 1 quarter, which becomes really, really nerve-wracking for the teams. And teams usually have different priorities and all that. And it's really hard from the engineering leaders and leaders to kind of sell that to the teams or convince the teams to do this and put all the other things that was planned aside and do this. And it's usually a consuming process. And in my experience, at Berks, we did the same thing and we had to do it within one quarter. And I led the effort for the DevTools side of things at Berks, and all the legal things and all that was done of like 2 quarters prior to starting the transformation of the string. So supporting different currencies and the legal side of things was taken care of. Now we were ready to do that. But even then, the teams were doing different things. Like they had their own priorities, and convincing them to just put other stuff aside and focus on transforming the codes or the parts of the codes that they owned. And for that, we developed some code mods to do that. And even then, after creating the code mod, who wants to run them? Who wants to orchestrate them? Who wants to arrange this work coordinated across multiple teams? And as Alex mentioned, merge conflicts happened and all that. And imagine you're done with that. How do you prevent regressions? How do you prevent adding hard-coded strings again into your code base? Imagine you took care of that as well. How do you want to manage the performance of your app? There are so many questions and nuances, because I mentioned performance because, let's say, you use some internationalization library that requires you to have the entirety of the JSON file, like the catalog file, downloaded every time that someone opens the app. That can be easily like megabytes of JSON. Yeah. Of course, non-glyphed, but that's still a lot.
Sounds to me that the way you've come to your company is from a real-world need and experience, so to speak, and you're actually applying some of the solutions to the problems that you've dealt with internally from an internationalization process specifically. Among the most progressive software companies you've seen, what innovative strategies in internationalization stand out to you, and how can more traditional teams adopt these approaches without overhauling their entire process, you think, Alex?
You know, we can talk about people skills, we can talk about automations and also processes. I think in those progressive companies, they have the luxury of hiring experts who have had the experience of these campaigns before. They've set up processes that are efficient based on past experience. And also they build internal toolings and automations so they can save their engineers and other team members time. Yeah, like for example, when it comes to the expertise, developers who have experience of handling such migrations, they know, for example, which library to use based on the needs of the business. If they understand that this product has very nuanced requirements, you know, they might opt, for example, for some specific internationalization library. If they know that it requires performance, you know, or ease of use based on who are their colleagues and what are their expertise, they might pick different libraries. Or for automations, this is something that what we had, for example, at Meta or Mo built at Brex and Shopify, this concept of code mods, which is like a proven technology that for many years have been used to automate the bulk of large-scale migrations. These are really hard to build, but once you master that skill, you can really turn the organization around and really accelerate innovation for the whole company. Yeah, I think those are some of the things that comes to my mind on how progressive companies go about not just internationalization campaigns, but all kind of large-scale changes, fleet-wide modernizations.
Yeah, we've been talking for 12 minutes and the word AI hasn't come up yet. So that's pretty amazing. We must have been talking about pretty technical topics to be able to manage to get this far, but maybe let's breach the topic nevertheless. How do you think AI factors into internationalization and particularly in areas like automated translations and automated code modifications? And do you see a silver bullet or just one piece of a larger localization puzzle when it comes to AI, Mo?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that we haven't talked about AI. We use AI in every way possible it's built for, so much so that right now it's more of a, I would say, commodity. You know, and it's just like part of any app and systems these days. Or maybe it's become a second nature to us. AI, of course, we use the right tool for the right jobs and use AI in different ways. And Mo can, you know, talk more into how we leverage that. But at a high level, AI is just like the piece of the puzzle, you know, not a silver bullet. We've seen that because it can do some magical things for certain use cases. It's so tempting to use the same technology for everything. But based on our past experience at handling very, very large scale software systems that many companies are going to see in the future, we know that AI alone can't cut it. And that's why we need to use compiler technologies and infrastructure and other toolings combined with AI to create an exceptional user experience.
Yeah, that depends on what we mean by using AI. If we mean like throwing the whole code base to an LLM and expect it to make it internationalized, that's probably even going to happen. But at Codema, we use an agentic approach. So in the beginning, we just scan your code base, find the right tools for making your code base internationalized. Like, for example, we see if you're using Next.js, for example, we propose the right tools. Like we propose using Next.intl or Language.js, or if you're using a non-Next.js, we scan your code. Or if you're using Angular, we propose using IT Next Angular. So that is where we use the AI. And then if you want to scan your whole code base to find the hard-coded strings, we use the right tool for it, which is searching based on AST. And for that, we use ASTgrep. And then when you want to modify the code, we still use an AST-based approach, but we use AI to determine the keys, for example. And we, at the end, we use AI to automatically fix the issues that might have happened during the process. So yeah, we use AI, but if we mean by using AI alone, like if what we mean by that is just throwing the whole code base at it and expect it to do the entirety of the job, we're not there yet today. Maybe one day, but not today.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, we started talking and dove immediately into internationalization. Your company is called CodeMod. Could we maybe quickly explain for people in our audience that don't know what a CodeMod is, how that fits into the internationalization process, and maybe talk about your origins and the unique advantages that CodeMods bring to internationalization efforts?
Totally. So CodeMod is a term originally coined by Meta many years ago for some of the internal toolings we had. It stems from code modification. It's just like a script or code transformation bot that can detect some pattern in the code and transform it to something else based on AST or abstract syntax tree. And, you know, when after some iteration, we decided to work on code migration at scale, we decided to make this technology accessible to everyone in the world, all developers in the world, because, you know, a big percentage of the PRs at Meta is created by this technology, and it's automating the work of thousands of engineers. And we noticed that many frameworks like React, like Material UI, Next.js, they're building code mods, but they don't have any tooling. They don't have any analytics. There's no any community. And code mods alone for making as the script that makes so many changes is not enough for handling large scale migrations. We also need the infrastructure for orchestrating the changes. So as a former Meta engineers decided to make this technology with the same brand that thousands of developers love and are familiar with as a company who is fully focused on code migrations at scale, and that's the origin of CodeMod. I'll pass it over to Mo to talk about using CodeMod for internationalization.
For sure. So yeah, that's what we did at Brex. Then we wanted to internationalize our code base, and we built a code mod in-house that was super powerful. And when I started code mod, when Alex and I started code mod, I thought like, this is going to be a very killer feature if we could just create that code mod and just offer that to our users. So the code mod that we currently have is capable of doing handling very sophisticated scenarios that other code mods out there aren't capable of. First of all, we support multiple libraries as opposed to just supporting just one and focusing on one library. We're capable of handling Next.intl, Lingui.js, and ITnext, React.itnext, and Angular.itnext. And one thing that we do a very good job at is handling sentences that are broken across multiple elements. And that's something that other open source code mods out there cannot do. So for example, if a sentence is broken down into, like if there's a link within a sentence that says, I agree the privacy policy, and privacy policy is a link in here. We just combine all of these fragments into one translated stream. And we support multiple languages. Like we support ICU, Fluent Syntax, and ITnext.json. And we also support...
It sounds like you're saving a lot of people a lot of headaches with that kind of thing, I would assume.
Yeah. It is automated, and you can also orchestrate it. So you go to the CodeMod platform, you start the campaign. So we scan your code base. We find 5,000 hardcore strings within your code base. You just start your campaign, and we calculate the shards. We split it by however you want, like by the number of files per PR or by code owners and the number of files per PR. So for example, let's say you have 10 teams in your GitHub organization, and 500 of the files are owned by team A, 300 are owned by team B, and we just divide it into manageable chunks. So the PRs that we will create for each team, every time that they won't exceed 30 changed files. So for example, if you have 300 files, I mean, one of the teams has 300 files, we split it across 10 shards of 35 PRs, basically. And if any merge conflicts happen along the way, you can just post a comment under the PR, let's say /codemod recreate. It just recreates that PR for you. So it just basically recreates the PR from scratch. So even if there was any changes during the time that you opened the PR and the time that you want to, the change was approved, even if there were any changes in the main branch, they'll all be considered again.
One of the things that I think is so important with software development these days is easy integration with other platforms. So I wanted to touch on that for a second. How does CodeMod integrate with things like GitHub and Crowdon for localization, and what are the tangible benefits of that integration on a day-to-day basis for internationalization workflows?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially with this heterogeneous landscape that we're dealing with. Meeting developers where they are is really challenging, but it's very essential. We do have integrations, and we're adding more integrations as we move forward. And one of the main ones right now is GitHub, where we can analyze the code bases. We can enable developers to generate PRs, many PRs, and in a central place, they can keep track of the status of those PRs. And we're also building integrations in GitHub for PR review. So when developers come across changes that they want to tweak, they do not need to check in their code locally, make some changes, and then push again. They can just communicate with us with our AI and we automatically incorporate their feedback. We are going to have integrations in the future for task management systems, monitoring systems, and all the developer tools in the SDLC for each company to automate the whole process for software engineering teams.
Yeah, Mo, maybe we can talk about the integration with Crowden for a second, and you can tip the veil on that a little bit, how that helps you guys with your internationalization activities.
Yeah, for sure. So as Alex mentioned, we support GitHub, and Crowden also has a very good GitHub integration. So that helps us, like, for example, let's say your code is ready for internationalization. That's when Crowden comes into play. So you basically, let's say you've merged all your CodeMod PRs, and now we've generated all those catalog files. Crowden has a very good support of all the libraries that CodeMod supports. As I mentioned before, NextINTL, and you guys support all of the standard string formats like ICU, Fluent Syntax, the JSON formats out there. And it's just like every time that developers create a PR or even CodeMod creates a PR, Crowden kicks in, just sends a new PR with very high quality translations, accurately transforming the strings and the syntaxes for all of those internationalization message formats that I mentioned before.
Awesome. Let's talk about a little bit about essential advice for first timers. What top action steps or key insights would you offer to technical leaders that are embarking on an internationalization initiative and maybe don't have a lot of experience and want to get an idea of what the advantages could be of implementing something like CodeMod with Crowden?
Yeah. Based on some experiences we've had with our customers, we realized that sometimes they have adopted some ad hoc ways to go about their nationalization. And that creates a lot of, challenge down the line and for, moving fast in their whole internationalization process. So a better approach probably than, using these ad hoc ways for internationalization is to just use automations and adopt the, very solid and mature internationalization libraries from the get-go. And the other one is that migration is not just that one-off change. Many times, those who might not have the past experience, they might think that they do this one-off big bang migration and everything is over. But that's not true, especially in large code bases. And the maintenance of any migration, including internationalization, is also extremely important and saves a lot of time for engineers, but also creates a delightful experience for end users. We've seen that large enterprises accrue so many hard-coded strings in their code base even after adopting our i18n libraries.
It sounds more like a continuous process that you need to pay attention to, and that I think is ideal for your software and for Crowden as well, that are built around the continuous localization principles. We've almost filled a half an hour, believe it or not. That's how quickly the podcast went. In parting, I would like to ask you both about your experience with Crowden and maybe what are the best features that you like in Crowden, reason you think it's so helpful.
Yeah, the best experience that I had is about partnership. The whole team at Crowden is so proactive, and we all came up with great ideas for not just building but expanding our partnership in the future from different angles. And it's been really unique and awesome, and I'm so excited about expanding this partnership more and more down the line. And as we're getting to the end of this podcast, I want to say that anyone who has some, whether they already have adopted internationalization or they want to just level up their game in maintenance of those, we have free analytics on our website, so you can just go to app.codemod.com to get free analytics on how many hard-coded strings you have in your code base. And then if you want to also our platform to automate the whole transformation for you, you can first get a free trial and see some percentage of the changes. And if you like it, you can become a paid customer to automate the whole process. And yeah, for larger teams, we provide more support to make sure that we make the internationalization campaigns a success, as we've done for large companies, mid-market and enterprise companies. So we would be happy to partner up with Crowdin to help companies go to global markets faster, increase revenue, and create a delightful experience for users.
All right. Alex and Mo, thank you so very much for joining us today. We look forward to keeping tabs on you and watching you in the future. And let's catch up again soon. Thank you very much for a wonderful episode of the Agile Localization Podcast by Crowdin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Well, folks, that's a wrap on today's episode of the Agile Localization Podcast by Crowdin. We hope you found it as insightful as we did. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want to learn more about how leading companies are managing their multilingual content efficiently, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. Thank you for tuning in. For more resources on how to streamline your localization process, visit crowdin.com. See you next time.